When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
My little card of whimsy would like to know the thing I had to return after the breakup was...
My dignity?
You had to give that back. No. I returned this.
Yeah, no, I had to... What did I actually have to return
after a breakup? You get to meet back up with the person and return some things.
Look, I actually ended up, I was one of those fucking doormats that like gave more than I should have given. Like when they're like, oh, but you took this, so can I have this? And it was mine. And I was like, I feel sorry for you. Yeah. So fine, have the fucking spare bed or the you know, TV or whatever, you know, like I wanted to cut and run so quick after how awful it was, I had to give back my own shit.
Yes. Is it a case sometimes of that reminds me of you and that reminds me of you and that reminds me of you?
Oh, I did that once when an ex cheated on me. When I found out that she'd been in my house, and I say she, it's not about me hating her. It's when I found out that they'd been together in my house. Yes. I sold almost every piece of furniture that you could sit on, stand on, or lie on.
So well put, at least profit. The question was I had to return, but yeah. selling it is certainly an answer.
I actually got in trouble for not, because I decided to take his TV and I was asked to return it when he found out that I'd listed it on Marketplace. And he's like, why did you take it if you wanted to sell it? And I'm like, because...
Compensation.
Because I don't need to give you reasons anymore. Because compensation. Now Zane is on microphone, as you just
heard.
Hello,
everyone. Tried to contain
you. You've all been very well behaved, so we thought we'd bring Zane back on, the Zane C. Weber, to give him his full credentials, back on the microphone. Hello, one. Hello, all. To Ghosts of Boyfriends Past, Thomas Harris, Zane C. Weber, and Elizabeth Best.
That is all of our full names.
Here we are. And break.
Have you ever had to return anything after a breakup, Zane?
What do you reckon?
I'm going to say all of my breakups have not really been the kind of breakups where things would be returned.
Okay.
I guess like the one relationship I had in high school. Just out of high school in university. But he had a lot of my like DVDs and music and like even like weirdly decor. And yeah, it was because I was just like, I don't care. I don't want it. I don't want it.
Yep, you're a cut and runner like me. You're like, we're done, but please no. Just have it.
That
goodbye.
Is the cost of doing business.
Yes.
But yeah, it turned back up. Our mutual friends kind of were charged with delivering it back.
Yes, right.
Me.
You had mules for that. I had a similar time in my life just out of high school. And so mine was the your standard traditional two people meet up. You hand over a bag of their things.
And release at the same time.
Yeah. One, two, three, drop. Back away. Back away.
There's snipers in the hills. Yes. Here we are.
Yes. It's a main episode today. And I will explain to you how I got this story. The story was not so much someone writing in, because they didn't want to write it in, but I interviewed them in person and then transcribed their story and kind of edited for clarity, sent it to them, got them to approve my transcription to make sure that I wasn't putting words in their mouth. They tweaked a few things. And then, so this is what you can do. If you want to to be a guest and you don't want to sit down and write the whole saga down, I will literally interview you, transcribe it all, write it all up for you, and you just get to go yes or no. Like,
she's
it's
just
easy
that
peasy.
Good, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, I was going to say.
One of the many services we provide.
Yeah, transcription services, courtesy.
A round of applause for Elizabeth Best and the amount of hard work she does on this show. We are very thankful for it.
Thank you.
So we've got a story in a sort of roundabout kind of way.
And it's from a gentleman, which I'm quite happy about because we love having everyone on this podcast, but it's not quite so often that we get a guy in to tell stories. And this episode's actually quite, I say special, that's the wrong word, but it's interesting in the fact that it is a man writing in, admitting that he was absolutely the villain in this story.
As they should, because we've all been the villains.
Everyone's been the villain. Like, I'm sometimes the villain in my own story. Like, I just get in my own way every day.
Oh, yeah. Past Zane has a lot to answer for.
So this is where we're at. What I've done also is I took the initial introduction from the email that they sent us saying, I've got a story, but it's too long to write, and then popped the story. Just so you know where it's all flowing from and everything. I like to disclose my sources.
No, thank you.
So this is from a gentleman called Matt.
Matt, okay.
Dear Liz and Tom, and he didn't say Zane. I'm so sorry, Zane.
I don't know if I'm blaming Matt or you.
$2 in the jar.
Zane's like, I'm off mic now. Goodbye. I'm done.
I'm going to judge silently instead of loudly.
Thanks for the podcast over the years. Long time listener, second time writer. So hopefully this one gets through. I did find the first one. It's not as strong as this story. So that's just where we're at, Matt. If I've learned anything through the podcast, it's that vulnerability is important. So I'm about to tell you the worst fucking thing I ever did.
That is a strong opener.
I think it's important to be honest when you're the asshole once you've realized it, and then maybe sometimes maybe someone will listen, will see themselves in the story, and for the love of God, put their fucking phone down.
It's so commendable off the bat to, because it's so hard. Yep. It's so hard to admit to yourself even that you did wrong, you fucked up, you are the asshole. Yep. It's really hard to get to that point. So to then admit it to the world, to the universe, to come forward, to stand up and say,
lead by example.
I fucked up. Good on you, my friend. Not good on you for fucking up in the past, but good on you for doing this.
It's all capitals, put their fucking phone down. And then this is where it goes into the interview. So fantastic. That part was from the email. Let me explain. The first 2 years of my relationship with Alyssa, yes, we have changed her name, were amazing. We were childhood sweethearts, first meeting as loved up teens in high school and then reuniting a couple of years later. We were inseparable. Everything really felt like this was meant to be, and all those early signs were there. I was in love and I loved her to death. But we did get together very early, and despite these feelings, I still had those yearnings for the single life that I could not quite explain.
Classic teenager. Yep.
It's a feeling that I wanted to not be tied down and to be free. I wanted to be with Alyssa and I loved her dearly, but I also felt a little bit panicky at the thought of just being with her forever.
I just wanted to have my cake.
Yes.
And eat it as well?
Who would have thought?
How can one do that?
One day, after a particularly bad anxiety attack on my part, I decided I needed to confess to Alyssa how I was feeling. She did not take it super well and could not really understand what I was saying. I barely did myself, if I'm honest. Yes, I wanted to be with her, but I also wanted to not be with her.
Yes, I'm familiar with this. The human brain doesn't stop developing until you're, what, 25?
For men, it's in your 30s.
Yes. You two are laughing and I am stoically marching through that because I think you might be right.
I know.
So when you're 18, 19, 20, and there's ideas in the lizard part of your brain that you want and need, but we're so stupid at trying to articulate it. I don't know why. I'm sorry.
Look, at this point, I was kind of like, I kind of almost commend him for telling her.
Yeah.
What a shit conversation to have, but also well done for being honest about where your feelings are at. People would just push past or cheat or.
Yeah, who feel that way and then don't explain it, don't address it, do something horrible to implode the situation and walk away. I think, using your words, always better than not.
Mm. Okay. Despite this conversation being hard and very heavy, we did not call it quits. We decided to keep things going. After all, I didn't want things to end. I just wanted to be open about how I'd been feeling. But after that talk, something definitely seemed to change. I don't know if it changed the way she saw me or the way she felt about me, but since that day, things were not the same.
You can feel it. It's a weird feeling when you feel that shift It doesn't have to be forever, but sometimes you feel it. It's a
Can't imagine a relationship not being changed
after that
by a conversation about, hey, I'm not sure if you're the one and this is the story that we're playing out together.
I know, yeah. I know. But we were very dependent on one another. So no matter how many fights we would get in, neither one of us would end the relationship. The fights just kept on happening, and I guess neither of us could imagine not being in each other's lives, so we just kept on keeping on. This is so common.
Yes.
This is so common. It's like someone becomes your human security blanket, and even though life may be better without them, you can't. You just can't put it down.
Yes, we're all the main character, right, in our own story. So our relationship or my relationship must be important. It must be too big to fail, right?
Yeah.
The relationship must go on, yes.
Yep.
Or I've succeeded now. Yes. I have a partner.
Look, I've done it. Yeah. Next.
I won life, you guys. To the altar. No.
Well, in some cases, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the game of life, yes. Now, this lasted for about 5.5 years.
Wow.
Much longer than I thought it was going to have lasted for.
Okay. I mean.
Anyone at home pick less than 5 years like the rest of us?
I had about a year and a half tops.
Yeah.
When we were
talking. Was there any indication of like where in the 5 years the relationship that conversation happened?
I believe that he's
saying that. It happened in then 5 years?
It happened in then 5 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
In that time, there were explosive fights, toxicity, and cheating. She ended up having a long-term affair with a work colleague while we were together, and that's what finally gave me the impetus to call it quits. I just couldn't do it anymore. Which is not, again, I did not have her having the affair on my bingo card. I had him.
I thought we were barreling towards him playing up.
I kind of felt that coming.
Oh, come
on. No, look.
As soon as he said that it shifted something with how she viewed things, I was like, I can put myself in her position. I was like, yeah, she's going to look for a way out.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yes, very fair.
Initially, he says, I felt really good about my decision. Solid, firm. It made sense. She cheated and I wanted to see what being single was like. But as the days turned into weeks, I started thinking more and more about Alyssa. I was second guessing myself. She'd wanted to make it work after her affair, so why did I shut that down so fast? If she was on my mind so much, did I make the wrong decision? Mm-hmm. I would go over and over our fights in my head, thinking about whether or not I could have changed the way they went. The final fight was the one that kept playing over and over, with me thinking, what would have happened had I said, let's work through this, let's go to therapy, let's talk about it, anything other than get out.
Yeah. You can kill yourself with what ifs.
Yep.
And
you should have, could have, would have yourself into an early grave.
Those weeks, first month after a breakup from a hefty time in a relationship, agony.
Yeah.
Absolute agony.
Yeah.
And this is exactly how you rebound with the same person.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. If they're open to it, you separate for a while and then you feel the need to connect again and it's easier to fall back into that pattern.
We've all done it or thought about it or been tempted by it. Oh, Liv.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
Pretty soon, she took up all of my thoughts and I stopped having space for anything else. So I decided to contact her to see if we might be able to try again.
It's a real gotcha where I wasn't sure where that came from, but okay. Yep.
We'll get there.
Okay.
I sent her a tentative message saying sorry for being so abrupt, telling her that she was on my mind and even though the affair hurt, that I'd like to see if we could talk about it. She seemed receptive at first, but then got a bit distant. We organised to meet up and talk, and she cancelled. We rescheduled, and she cancelled. And pretty soon she wasn't responding to my texts at all.
Yes.
I thought maybe she'd blocked my number, but for some reason that seemed like something impulsive that she would do without thinking. She did impulsive and flippant stuff all the time through our relationship, so I just assumed that this was that. I realised pretty soon that I'd also been blocked on Facebook, but again, I thought Alyssa was just being flippant.
Okay, those are some pretty strong signals he's choosing to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and can I clarify, was it a breakup or was one of them sort of, quote, dumped after the cheating, after the affair.
He dumped her after the affair, okay. Yes.
And now he's having that.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Yep.
It's like, why didn't I try to reconcile harder? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
Instead of, and this I thought was quite mature, instead of recognizing this as a boundary, mm-hmm. someone's had therapy since, I decided to send her an email and she didn't reply. So I sent another and another. And I remember sometimes waiting days to see if she would respond to me. I wrote these massively long emails declaring my love for her, apologizing for what I said that first time I said I wanted to be single, talking about what our future would be like together if she just gave me another chance.
Ooh, write the emails, delete them,
get
it out.
I write them in my notes so that there's no possibility that I can accidentally hit send.
Yeah. Like, and then write it out.
Occasionally we'll send it to a friend and be like, am I crazy? And they'll be like, yes, delete this.
I'm glad you got it out of your system. Get rid of it.
Just sleep on it can be sort of flippant advice sometimes. But in cases like this, if you're not necessarily in a breakup or a relationship, if you've pissed off with your boss and you fire off an email.
Oh, I fired off that email and I sent it to Zane.
That's right. You slept on it and turned
but
it around a bit nicer.
There's something really good about I slept better having gotten it out and sent it to somebody.
You've misunderstood. Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
I meant
and
get it out.
And sleeping on sending it or acting on it. Yes. I think a combo of the sleep on sending it forever, always. But also get it out because you'll sleep better.
Mm. Yeah.
Every now and then Alyssa would reply and this gave me a jolt of hope. A couple of times she said she would actually meet with me too. And we did meet up. They were just coffee dates since we knew each other so well, though. They were so familiar and so warm. But things never seemed to progress beyond coffee. I guess she didn't know at the time how obsessive my thoughts had gotten about us being meant to be together, so she had no idea that this wasn't going to my plan. Then all of a sudden, one day, I saw a social media post about her being with a new guy. She announced it to the world only 2 months after our breakup when she was still talking to me. Was she though, my friend?
Yeah, that's right.
When he said talking this to me, I was like, she's replying because you're bombarding her.
Talking implies some sort of mutual give and take.
Responding is different. Yeah. Talking. Yeah. When we talk about the talking stage of a relationship, they're not equal.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I felt like I was going to be sick. This started a social media spiral for me. I started checking every account that she had compulsively every day.
We've all been there.
We have. And I've honestly had to have phone calls with a couple of my friends going, put your fucking phone down or I will literally fly to where you live and I'm not going to say who that is. And I will take your phone and I will put my heel through it.
So how did you know your friend was doing that? Are you seeing them
she would call me in a panic with he just posted a picture with this person that I was always worried about. And I'm like, why are you looking?
Yeah.
You need to stop.
You are not following this person. You have created a new account so that you can follow him.
I was like, do you want me to call you or message you at the end of every day to double check whether you've checked his social media accounts yet? And that actually helped because she knew that at some point there was going to have to be accountability and she didn't really want to lie to me about it because she'd realize she's only lying to herself. Yep. So, but yes, this happened. She blocked me. I skipped a bit. I was desperate to see what she was doing, who she was with. I convinced myself that I just wanted to see her face. But now I know there's an element of control I felt from knowing about her life while she was withholding the details from me.
That's, I guess, mature in retrospect.
Yes. Someone had therapy.
I would be interested to know the rationale at the time.
At the time, he told me that he literally was telling himself, I just want to see and I hope she's well. I just hope she's well. Mm. I just want to see her face. And then maybe he said that she was a bit like a drug and that if he could just see her face, he'd feel okay about it. But then he kept like detectiving all of the, like, where's that cafe? Who's that hand? Like, you know.
Yes, this is probably a lesson learned, but he lost track of himself.
Yeah. Right?
His life, his hobbies, interests, pursuits, going outside for a walk, and just lost himself.
Yeah. Mm. She blocked me on some platforms, so then I took the extra step of trying to hack into her accounts.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. This is... Okay. Mm-hmm. It hadn't already happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And we're ending the show. That's all, folks. It's over. This guy's done it. He's crossed the line. Zane's out. I wasn't very good at hacking, he says.
Few people are.
But I did manage to guess one or two of her passwords just from information learned in our shared history together. Okay. Other times I would log on to my friends' accounts to see what she was up to through that. It gets so much worse, guys. I'm sorry and embarrassed to say.
Okay, I was going to start with admonishments, but we'll.
I'm still at the point of like, oh God, I understand.
I feel it on a deep level,
and it's just kind of like, I'm so glad I'm not there anymore.
I think collectively, all our readers around the globe are going, yes, I feel that.
I would never do that, but yes, but no.
Yeah, sure.
Like, but I understand the shame.
Yeah,
but
yeah. And the fact that he goes, it gets so much worse, guys. I'm sorry. Like, because I was like, oh, in the interview, I was like, that is fucking awful, Matt. And he was like, it gets so much worse. I'm so sorry.
Okay, commencing gripping of furniture now.
She was occupying my every thought, and I eventually decided, fuck this. I wanted to start dating again. So I started matching with people on Tinder who looked like her.
Spite dating.
Yeah, spite dating with doppelgangers. Don't do it, my friends. One time I even dated someone called Alyssa purely because of her name.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, those poor women.
I know.
I would love for them to write in. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Look, if any of the Alyssas out there, you know, if you recognize this story, please let us know. The stalking, because I now know that's exactly what it was,
mm-hmm. Yes, good. Mm-hmm.
Continued for about a year and a half.
That's a long
time. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I would feel like I was getting better and get involved with work functions or hanging out with friends.
Your life, your different pursuits, yes.
But like clockwork, as soon as I felt a little bit lonely, I would pull up her accounts and pour through all her photos. I'd look at all of the photos of us together that I still had. And whenever my phone would be lying next to me, I would sometimes have to physically throw it across the room to get over the urge to email her. I have done this. I have thrown my phone across the room because I desperately wanted to call someone and I knew I should not call them.
I mean, whatever you got to do. Like, yeah. It might seem irrational, but that's the better choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a brief burst of anger to kind of jolt you out of whatever the fuck you're about to do. This feeling most often came at night when I had just my thoughts running around my head. It got to the point where my mates and my family noticed that things were not right and were actively trying to distract me. And they did a wonderful job for the most part, but then as soon as the door would close and the light would go off at night, that cloud of loneliness would envelop me and all I could think about was Alyssa. And maybe if I just sent one perfectly worded email, it would all be okay. It was like my skin was sometimes crawling. I was that desperate to see her, to try and change something, anything.
Yeah.
I feel that feeling on a cellular level. I've not gone to the lengths that he's gone to, but when you just are overthinking every interaction to the point where you're like, if I could just put the right words together in the right order, it would be okay.
If she only knew
what
I was feeling, she would want me.
Yes, if you could hook her up to my veins somehow and she could feel my bodily pain of not being with her.
I am interested, and you may or may not have this answer, and how honest he was about what he was going through. He was with his friends and family who were distracting him.
We do touch on that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. For a long time, I couldn't sustain any relationship for more than a few weeks or maybe months. My ex was always on my mind and the goal of every single day was to find ways to distract myself from it, but I still was always focused on how I could win her back. It was never going to happen, but I just tried and tried as best I could. I think at one point I knew what I was doing was obsessive, but I couldn't fight the urge to do any outreach. I felt like I was stuck in this mental prison because so many memories of my life were with her. Then, one night, a friend slipped up and mentioned to a mate on the phone that Alyssa would be at a play that they were going to. I knew that she would be there with her new boyfriend, and I just felt this intense rage towards this man that I had never met. So after a bit of digging around, I found this man's address. And I drove over there and I waited for them to get back after the show.
Okay.
I thought he was going to the play to see.
Me
to
too.
And then he went to the house, and I'm wondering which is worse.
Well, I know. Because I was like, oh, thank God you didn't go. Wait, this but is you did bad. Go to the- this is
I
worse.
I braced myself for public scene.
Yeah.
And then it went got it.
It got just, darker. Oh, home no. address is darker than public scene.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. The next part is probably the most embarrassing thing that I have ever admitted to. I feel sick when thinking about what I was like that night. When they both pulled up, I got out of the car and I approached their car and I just started screaming at them both about how I knew that she still loved me, that their relationship was a sham, that we were meant to be together and that nothing was going to stop us. It was unhinged. I was unhinged.
Okay.
I want to know, Matt... Was there any part of your conscious sort of logical brain when you're screaming at this couple that's going, what are you doing? What's going on here?
He or said to me, and I didn't put this in, but I think I should have. He said to me that it was like the red mist. Like he just, right. he was so out of it. It was like an out of body, not quite there.
Because sometimes when you're in an argument or a heated moment, yeah. there can be a part of you is going, what are you? Why are it's you like, upset? Why are
this
you,
is yeah, you.
This is
yeah, yeah.
But he didn't have that voice. No. He was just, all right.
It's anger. I guess it's important. It is. I would say he's lucky in the sense that he has an experience that he can point to as rock bottom.
Yeah.
Because that's it makes progressing from that point so much easier. You can go okay. This is a problem.
And he's also lucky that his rock bottom wasn't real bad.
Like real, some real bad. I was worried.
Like some people's rock bottom is like, hello, you're going to jail forever. Yes. Like, yes. you know. Yeah.
Or hello, I've hurt someone else yeah. very seriously.
Yeah, yeah. She cried. She yelled back at me to go away, that she did not want to see me anymore ever again. And when she threatened to call the police, I gave up, left, went home and cried.
And this is 18 months or at least after
this
the breakup.
Is about a year
this
and a
is
half.
A good yeah. length of time that yeah. they've been broken up. She's been with this guy, this new guy for a year and a half.
I like don't know if it was the same new oh, guy okay, that yeah, she started, enough. But it was her boyfriend. Still they were boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
That night, I realized after nearly 2 years of obsessive behavior that I absolutely needed help. The next day, I got a referral to a therapist.
Excellent.
Well done.
Well done.
Well done. Well done. Thank yeah. you. Well done. Beautiful. The fact that you recognize that as rock bottom and went, I need help,
yep.
that's fucking gold.
And immediately, like the next yeah. day. Not yes, it takes sometimes you need to stew and soul search, as we've talked about, but sometimes kick yourself into gear when you realize.
I think you just feel insane. When yeah. someone threatens to call the cops on you, you're like, yeah. oh my God, okay, really? Wait, I've done something that's worthy of having the authorities called.
And also having that final confrontation. I feel like that's what he needed this
having
whole time.
Having her to be like, get is, away
yes,
and
like,
get out of
absolutely her. Absolutely.
And maybe
not.
Even seeing yeah. like, you yeah. know, like her looking afraid of him.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know.
Because it was like, there were. I'm not absolutely not suggesting that she was leading him on.
No.
But she was doing
she
the
was,
bare minimum to maintain her safety.
She
of
didn't
like,
know that she was stoking the fire correct, of yeah. of his no, obsession no, because she just thought that she was, you know, but. Every,
well, she was supporting someone who she used to care about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And do you have any idea if when he's sitting in the car waiting for them to come home, does he have a plan?
No, he said he didn't have a plan. He was just going angry and wanted to. He was like, he said, well, like if she sees me, then maybe she'll get it. Like yeah. it was kind of like a plan to not have a plan.
Yes, yes. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
He says, talking to someone about the messiness of my brain was amazing. It was so great to have someone listen and not to get that horrible look of pity in their eyes when I told them my story. She listened to me and didn't judge. And once I got it all out, we started to talk about overcoming it. Now, I think this is something that's really important, right? Because sometimes when you do reach out to friends and family, there can be like a, oh, honey, no, like judgy judge face. Yep. A lot of psychologists, if you get the right one, some are judgy as hell. Mine is judgy and I love her for it. Like, that's why I go to that's her. It's for her to be like, yeah, be like, Elizabeth, no. And I'm like, Mom, I mean therapist. No, my actual therapist is judgmental. She'll be like, fuck yeah, Liz, or fuck no, Liz. But it's someone who's trained to actually listen without making you feel like shit and go, okay, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
Yes, it's a neutral. It's Switzerland. It's Switzerland. You're holidaying in Switzerland.
Yeah,
accountability and a reality check.
Yeah, exactly. He said, because that's the thing. I never, ever thought that I would be the type of person to be obsessive, let alone stalk someone. Obsession can happen to anybody and it's dangerous, but it's dangerous thought patterns that you can escape and overcome.
Yes.
After 12 long months of weekly therapy, I have now learnt that what I was doing was 100% abuse. I was the bad guy. I justified so many things in my head because I had convinced myself of something that just was not true. It's so easy to ignore where the boundaries are if you step a tiny bit further over them every time. You end up so far from the line that you are crossing that you can't see it anymore. Something I learned was that it was really easy to justify your behavior when you're in a one-sided conversation. So it's always important to let somebody else in. When your friends and family can act as a sounding board, things might not ramp up as far as they did.
Yeah.
I also learned that no is a complete fucking sentence. It sounds utterly stupid to not have known that before, but I kept convincing myself that I knew Alyssa so well that I presumed to know her thoughts weren't matching her actions, when in reality she had no idea that I'd become this obsessed, that seeing me at all was giving me hope, and that replying to me at all made me feel justified in using awful ways to erode her boundaries.
And even if no isn't uttered, if it's not, if they're not reaching out
if
to
it's
you,
not yes.
The end.
Yeah.
If it's not enthusiasm, yeah. I guess. Then
or initiative.
Yeah, it's a no.
It can be. This might sound a little, I don't know, unsensitive, but you'd apply that logic elsewhere. If I said, Zane, do you want to go to this restaurant for dinner? And you don't interact with that or you say no, like I'm not going to then bombard you to take you to this restaurant for dinner, right?
Yeah.
Get confirmation, get affirmation, consent is sexy.
It's not a fuck yes, it's a no. Anyway, Matt says, there you have it. My most shameful story where I was the villain. Thanks for all you do on the pod to make sure people are aware of different ways that people can fuck up in relationships and always bringing it back to what we and you can learn. I'm now in a much healthier place and it's been enlightening to hear from so many different people their relationship troubles on the pod. Makes me feel less alone and gave me the courage to write in. Be kind to one another and for God's sake, when someone tells you they don't want to be with you, believe them. Matt.
Terrific.
Yeah,
is my first response. Terrific. I want to give him a round of applause.
Have even we got the round of applause button still? No. I need it back, Zane.
Even though, yes, you were the bad guy, but there's so many people in this on this planet, so many that refuse to own up, that refuse to even look
to
inward.
To acknowledge.
To
or they'd even say, I was a bad guy, but there's none of that. Like, that's what I really, not enjoyed, but I really admired about talking with Matt is that there was no time in our conversation where he tried to blame anyone other than himself.
Mm, absolutely.
Which I think is a result of therapy. Like, we all know that I'm a big advocate of therapy. And I think that sometimes there are situations that you can't butt yourself out of, like, but my heart was breaking. I don't care.
As Matt noted, and I actually wrote down the exact same wording, he said, it's easy to justify to yourself. It's so easy to justify
in a one-sided conversation. You can justify yourself of anything.
What do you want for dinner, Tom? Pizza, I think. Good idea.
You can't afford pizza, but I want pizza.
You can. It's so easy to self-justify. So when you're, I don't know, how do you keep tabs on when you're doing that, when you're sort of taking yourself down the wrong path? It's hard to hard to keep track of that.
I mean, honestly, that's what therapy's for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, being open and honest with friends and family. If you're like, hey, just reality check, am I being weird when I do this?
Yeah, I think, and he acknowledged that at the end, I think, when he said, you know, like, if you let people in, it probably won't go as far, because you can whip your own brain into absolute fits of rage and hurt and anger. But if you go to, you know, your tough love friend, you've got to have one. Everyone needs at least one tough love friend. Yeah. So go to one of your many, hopefully, tough love friends.
Or be right, like, into Ghosts of Boyfriends.
Or write into us and we will be that tough. Oh. I personally will go to your house and be that tough love. I will karate kick that phone out of your hand faster than you
We've
can.
We've got Elizabeth Best here who will dish out tough love. And Zane C. Weber is so considerate and smart. And I'm also here.
I'll gently take your phone and restore it to factory settings.
Yes. You'll start.
I will be like, no, spray you in the face with a water bottle, slap you.
So Matt did a very good thing for us and gave us his lessons learned, as we normally do. Gang, there's a lot, I think, in this story. There's many we can pick apart. Zane, I want to turn to you first.
There's two that kind of hit home for me. Is one is I would like to acknowledge how difficult it is as a man to...
Finally, someone said it.
Get out.
Thank you.
Because of the pressure put on us by other men self-recognize this kind of behavior as problematic and share about it.
Yes.
Because I do think that... there is definitely a kind of person that he shares this with, and he is backed up as not being out of line. I don't think that is a common occurrence, but like in my mind, like I know I've known people that would probably give that advice. So while I understand how difficult it is, that's all the more reason to commend Matt for taking the steps that he did. Also, I would like this story is a great representation of how quickly and how dangerous it can be when toxic thoughts turn into toxic actions.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't control them, it doesn't take much for that flip to switch.
Switch to flip. it took me a half second to realize that you'd said it the wrong way. I was like, wait, strike that, reverse
to flip
it.
Flip that switch.
Yeah.
And yeah, like that red mist and you're not in control of yourself. And I think
that could have turned out really badly. Yeah. Honestly, when he was telling me, I was like, holy shit, did you beat the shit out of him? Like I thought that it was going to end with blood somewhere.
Mm. Mm. Could have, very could have.
So, and it has in many different cases in, you know, history, recently even, like, you know, domestic violence against exes happens a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. But yeah, I think my biggest lesson learned is that if there are more men that are willing to speak out and say therapy is good, then maybe more men would go to therapy.
Or even just more men who are willing to speak out and say, hey, I'm doing some weird stuff.
Because there's been a lot of women on this podcast who have come on and they've been like, hey, I did some weird shit.
Yeah.
and like we have had male guests before. We've had non-binary guests before, you know. But I just think it's not often that we have someone who identifies as a, you know. In fact, I don't think we've ever had somebody who identifies as a cis white man who's gone, I'm an asshole and here's why.
Correct.
Yeah. And I don't think I'm not saying, you know, all assholes come forward and tell us, but I think it's, I also think, it's the importance of having, the other lesson I learned is definitely the importance of having some kind of support network. And I know that it's really difficult for a lot of my male friends even to open up when they're having those kinds of rage feelings, but I think we all need to try and have at least some person in our life, if not a therapist, who we can actually open up and talk about these things with, because I think it's just like taking the lid off a pressure cooker situation when you can actually express these thoughts to someone else. You don't have to deal with it alone. You absolutely don't. If there's no dudes in your life who will listen to you, find a great female friend you can sound off. They will love to help you. Like, you know, if it just anybody who will listen to you that's not going to be like, yeah, what you did was right. Let's go fucking egg that guy's car. Like, no, bad.
And if you're worried about people's reaction to the sharing, you really just have to contrast it with what happened here. Is like, how bad would the reaction have to be from a friend that you're sharing this with to make it worse than what happened at that house that night?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
There's no way that that could spiral to the level that that is. So it's always going to be better to share it before it goes that far.
Nope.
And also it's one of those things where you're like, if you're really scared to share what you did with a friend,
maybe you shouldn't do it.
Maybe what you're doing is not a good idea, my friend.
Maybe with good reason. I'll put my hand up and despite being a very private individual, and I will talk about my mental health strife on this podcast, but I'll monetize it. But I will put up my hand and say I go to therapy. And it's wonderful.
Yes.
It's freeing.
I love that for you.
And you're not burdening anyone. You're not burdening anyone.
No.
What a relief. Yeah. I'm not going to my friends and having to say, hey, I need help, or my partner or my parents. It is a neutral corner. You're a total, no one, freeing is the word I'll use. And further from that, I've got a shopping list of what we learned.
Great.
Love the idea of an accountability buddy in a breakup. Someone that goes, love, are you on your phone every night? Like, as
that's
you were saying.
We need a breakup accountability buddy.
Love that. I touched on it at the beginning. He lost himself.
Yep.
Post-breakup, you can't lose yourself. That's when this madness happens. You have to...
You got to find an anchor point in life.
Yeah, latch on. The accountability buddy again.
Yes, that's right.
And especially when it's coming from... like a teenage relationship where you've grown together for that long.
Yeah.
It's going to be such a void
where
all of your personality is going to be somewhat enmeshed with that other person's personality.
It's like that thing that Marnie said in the high watermark where she said, I feel like I'm like a sapling with a little stake. He was like the garden stake.
Yeah, yeah.
And that stake's been removed. But if you've got strong roots, man,
it's a wonderful way of picturing it. And finally, it's not a lesson, it's a query. Do you think we sometimes enjoy torturing ourselves? We enjoy.
100%. Oh yes.
We enjoy the look at her. Look at her out with that guy. Look at him. Like, yeah. Seep in that.
It's proof of love.
Yeah, and you're proof.
Because you are so angry. You're so
what is love if not grief persevering? So you. Yeah. What is grief if not love persevering? Yeah. I said it the wrong way.
It's a bit darker the other way around.
That's the least best view of life. No,
you find yourself carpet bombing yourself with grief but so part of us likes that, right? Or
it's like feeding a monster. It's like I can't explain it, but it's like the whole, you know, when you're pressing on a bruise just to make sure that it still hurts so that you can be...
to wallow in your own sort of low
I think you need to set a wallowing time limit, right? This is one thing that my therapist said to me. She's like, you absolutely can and should wallow in the depth of your feelings. You need to sit in them. You need to feel them, because when we try and push them away, that's when bad shit happens. But she goes... if you need to get this real with it, set an alarm on your phone and go, this is wallowing hour or this is wallowing day. I'm going to bed rot for the entire day, and then tomorrow we're getting up and we're living life.
And hold yourself to it.
Yeah.
If you start wallowing and then you start and you feel yourself coming out of that wallow, you get back in that wallow.
Yeah.
And you've got to
be mindful about it.
Yeah,
you absolutely. Like, you need to feel those feelings. Like, you sit there in that fucking hole and you think about what you did.
No TikTok until you finished wallowing.
Oh, well, I think this has been a very, very helpful episode.
I've really enjoyed this one. Despite the story or the contents of the story and the bad things that happened,
I fully
commend Matt
we haven't said it, but I think it does go without saying that we all hope that his ex-partner is doing well.
Oh, yes.
And she came through this well because we didn't really touch
yes,
on
no.
that result.
And look, there's also 10% of me, as much as I am like, thank you so much. And I did tell this to him in person, but I was like, thank you so much, Matt, for telling your story. But also, fuck you, stalker. Like, how dare you? How dare you? I don't want to sit here and praise him too much because yeah. he knows that he deserves praise for the therapy, but nothing else.
I think my angle is that no one, I can't put the boot in as hard as he can to himself yeah. is kind of yeah. My thing. Like, what good am I going to, like, what?
Yeah.
He's already kicked his own ass, I'm sure, heavy enough by now
yeah.
that me coming along with my size 11s isn't going to, it won't do too
I'm
much.
Always up for a little bit of putting the boot in, let's be honest. But I will point out as well that this is, if you would like to write in, this person was not a friend of mine. It's not someone that I knew prior to the podcast. It was someone who didn't want to share their story, who emailed through and said, hey, I have a story about this. I don't want to be on the podcast, but I also don't want to write it out. What can I do? This is exactly what you can do. I will interview you, transcribe it all, write it all up, send it back to you so that you can correct any of the wordings that you don't think that I've gotten quite right. And like, I will do most of the work. All you got to do is tell me the story and then I will remove all the details tell it for
it's
you.
It's a good point, Liz, because we've always said, write your stories in, send them to us.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But we care.
Yeah.
Liz and I and Zane, we care. So we want to sit down with you if you are like Matt and can't write it out yourself or can't come into the studio by yourself. We're interested enough and we care enough to sit down with you, piece it out, figure it yeah. out, just like Elizabeth has done today. So that's always an avenue for you.
Yeah.
Send us your thoughts. Send us your questions. Send us your feedback. Send us your praise. Send us your stories to ghostsofboyfriendspast@gmail.com.
Don't send us your hate. We don't like that. No. That makes us sad.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
why would you do that?
I don't know.
Yeah, we thank Matt for his honesty today and writing in.
Have you been the bad guy in somebody else's story? I would love it if you've got mini episodes idea. Like, if you've got a mini story that you want to tell us, if you've got a main story, please write in and tell us when you think you might have been the asshole and fucked up. But in the meantime, thank you, Zane, yes. producer Zane, for
you're
coming on mic
welcome.
Again. Thank you, Tom, for doing a wonderful introduction on the podcast and your wonderful thoughts. And thank you to Matt for writing in. And look, in the meantime, I think I'm going to finish with the words of Matt in the, if you're feeling a bit shit, for the love of God, put your fucking phone down.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The ancient and esoteric order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.